Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Vermont Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Your eyes to the Lord, come let us praise. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Come let us praise. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, come let us praise. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Clap your hands, holy people.
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 Clap your hands, holy people, and praise the Lord.
Clap your hands, holy people, and praise the Lord.
Sing it your hands. Lift your hands toward heaven.
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 Lift your hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Lift your hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Singing Alleluia. Singing Alleluia. Clap your hands, holy people.
Clap your hands, holy people.
Clap your hands, holy people.
Clap your hands, holy people. Clap your hands, holy people, and praise the Lord. Clap your hands, holy people, and praise the Lord.
Singing Alleluia. Singing Alleluia.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the praise. of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
Hope is not in this life, nor this passing world's reward, but my hope is in a life that will never fade. My hope is in you, Jesus, risen King, ascended Lord. Even death itself could not hold you in the grave. And Jesus, you've gone before us, and your faithfulness never fails. In the darkness you reassure us, you're our anchor within the veil. Hope is not in this life, nor this passing world's reward, but my hope is in a life that will never fade. My hope is in you, Jesus, risen King, ascended Lord. Even death itself could not hold you in the grave. And Jesus, you've gone before us, and your faithfulness never fails. In the darkness you reassure us, you're our anchor within the veil. And Jesus, you've gone before us, and your faithfulness never fails. In the darkness you reassure us, you're our anchor within.
Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Northfield Falls service. You know, it's going to be interesting because things are changing around here. And I know for many it's going to be a tremendous, exciting time. For others, it's going to be a change. You know, and for all, it's going to be a change. So, with that in mind, let's go to Luke 17, chapter 20, verse 20. See if we'll let everyone get there. Luke 17, 20. You know, I'm thinking about change. One thing I do like about Vermont, not much anymore, but things I do like about Vermont is the change in the seasons. And, you know, we're heading into that fall time, and it's always a nice time around here, you know. And so kind of like with this change that's coming up here, it's going to be a great time for things. Mm-hmm. And when he demanded and went, pardon me?
Go ahead.
Okay. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the sons of men, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in that day, in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. You know, I've been asked to preach, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, Steve told me last night, he goes, Oh, you're going to preach tomorrow morning. I'm like, you know, deer in the headlights. And one thing I know that the Lord's been teaching me, and hopefully I exercise it properly, is, you know, we have to work by faith. You know, we have to trust the Lord and step out there in faith and move with what the Lord shows you. So, anyway, with that said, when I read this and I look at this, one thing that we often see, you know, we talk about the kingdom of heaven, which is where God's throne is, and we talk about the kingdom of God. And when I look at verse 21, it says, Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, we know that when we look at the kingdom of God, how do we dwell in that kingdom of God? We dwell it by faith. We walk by faith in that kingdom of God, knowing and believing God. Now, when I walk by faith, there may be an outward appearance of my faith, but that faith really dwells within me. That faith that is within me, that I walk in the kingdom of God, is something that there may be that outward manifestation that people may say, but it really is within me. It's my faith within me that gives me that ability to walk in that kingdom that the Lord has promised me, and to walk in the fullness that the Lord has given me. And I know that for myself, you know, we talk about walking by faith and, you know, throwing out the rope and stuff. That's something that it's tough at times for me. It's tough because I struggle with that belief, knowing that God can move through me in spite of me. So anyway, we look at the kingdom of God is within me, within my heart, and I walk by faith in that. Now, I know we talk about this change that's coming up. I mentioned Steve's got a change coming up, and well, I didn't say it by name, but Steve's moving, okay? Well, if Steve moving, that means things here in Vermont are going to change just a little bit. Okay, someone said a lot of bit. But I know that where we dwell and where the Lord is pulling us together, you know, we talk about the days when the church as a body is going to stand up and walk as one. The days that when the body stands forth and does the work has the manifestation of Jesus is what Jesus did. That body of Christ is going to walk forth and show all the things that the Lord did. And it's going to demonstrate to those what it means to walk by faith or walk in the kingdom of God. Now I look at that. And what did Jesus do when you look at his life? Okay? He forsook all, right? He forsook all. He didn't have anything of this world that he claimed to grab hold to. Because he knew that whatever's in this world is corrupt, and anything in this world is going to perish. And so if we, as Christians, start walking in that kingdom, we have to get of that like mindset that we don't hold on to anything of this world. You know, when I look at talks about Lot's wife, you know, Lot's wife is a type and shadow of the catching away. And for those who don't know, I'm going to use the other word, which is not scriptural, the rapture. Okay? Lot's wife is an example of the catching away. And what held Lot's wife back? She looked back to the things of the earth. She looked back to what she knew and what she saw. Lot, on the other hand, said, you know, it's time to get the heck out of this place and his daughters. You know, let's get out of here. Okay. We have to come to that point. We have to come to that point for several reasons. One, we can only walk in that kingdom of God if we can walk by letting our lives die, by letting go of the things that hold us back to this earth. Second of all, we have to get to that point of letting go of this stuff, because when the Lord does come, are we going to be as Lot's wife and say, oh, wait, I really like my Harley. Your Lego? Your Legos. Okay. You know, part of this transition that the Lord's bringing us through, part of the shaking that I know and I see that's going on, he's trying to shake us loose of the things that we hold dear to on this earth. He's shaking us and he's purging it, and not in the sense that, you know, the Lord purges those who he loves, but, you know, he's purging us in the sense that we let go and we recognize that whatever we're holding on to this earth is corrupt and evil, and we're not going to bring it with us when we go into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know that's something I've been struggling with for years. I mean, I've talked about it in the past, you know. The Lord's been shaking that out of me. You know, things are happening in my life, praise God. You know, get my eyes off the lifestyle I had. You know, I mean, I'm letting go of that. Because the Lord can only bring that body together, or you can only be part of that body that is brought together, when you're willing to let go of those things that bind you to this earth. And I know that with Steve moving and things are going to be shaken up here, okay? I know things are shaking up in my world down in Springfield, other than the fact it's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, Karen was mentioning on the way up here, she goes, you know, it used to be in the days of Springfield is that you'd hear a siren and you'd go, wow, that's strange. Now you sit there and you listen to Springfield and you hear sirens every few hours. You know, the Lord is working, okay? You know, I mean, I look out there and I look at what's going on in the world, and it's getting darker and darker and darker every single day. And I know that what the Lord is going to do when he pulls that body together as a perfect body and the unity of the Spirit unto that perfect man, that light then will be flipped on, and that light then will come forth in a dark nation, in a dark world, just like when Jesus came forth and was flipped on as a light, and the world saw. And the world had a distinction between what it meant to be light and what it means to be dark. And I know that in my life, part of that flipping on that light or letting go of this stuff is letting go of what I have in the world. You know, just as part of moving out to Texas or to the ranch, Grace Ranch, you know, we can't bring our life with us out there, just like we cannot bring our life here to the kingdom of heaven. We have to be willing to lose all and forsake all if we have any hope of walking and standing in that kingdom of heaven. And the key is walking and standing in that kingdom of heaven. Because if you think you bring anything with you into that kingdom, anything that you bring with you of this world could potentially kill you there. And I know that where the Lord is moving us, we got this convention coming up. I guess it's convention number 6 now. Is that right? Yeah. Right, so convention number 6. Okay, it's the 6th convention. And I know every time we go there, we have a different message. I know that every time we go there, things are a little bit more heated up. I know every time we go there, things have changed. Things are going to change greatly here in the next month or 2 months, because we've got one family moving back and another family moving out. And my hope is Karen and I will be out of here soon. But I know that when I leave, I have to leave that which I hold dear to, that things of the earth I need to leave here. Okay, we all need to leave the things that hold us back from serving God here. And I'm talking about on the earth, wherever you live. Because when we come to that perfect man, we can't be as Lot's wife. We have to be as Lot, looking forward and not back.
I've been reading with my children. Recently we've been in Romans. And as a consequence of reading Romans, we've had 2 baptisms recently, one last week with Ruthie and one Friday with Abigail. She wanted to become a part of the body of Christ. So she got baptized, praise the Lord. So in that, we were reading, and I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12. And I think this dovetails with what Charlie was talking about there, you know, quite a bit. And by the way, I mean, look, it was interesting on Tuesday night. I think it was this past Tuesday. Charlie, were you up on Tuesday night? I don't remember.
We had all those problems
on Tuesday night. Boy, did we have a lot of problems on Tuesday night. But in the midst of all those problems, it was kind of interesting. You know, Jesus was talking to his disciples about, you know, if you have faith and believe, doubting not. Remember that? You shall ask whatsoever you will. And the key, Paul asked, people may remember Paul asked this question, well, you know, that doubting not thing. And Charlie, really what you were talking about in many ways hits it on the head, which is the part that most people struggle with is themselves and their feeling of unworthiness. Right, and that's that tentacles of our life before we came to know Christ, because the entire world's about you earn your way. You know what I'm saying? It's like this, don't get me wrong, it's not that the world is very meritous. I mean, I don't think the best, the cream rises to the top, as some people like to say, and all this other stuff. The world's just a mess, and it's chaotic, and it's awful. But the idea that you have to earn your way in the world, you have to earn your keep, and all of these things is a big part. And that testifies against you. And so what happens is it makes you sometimes try harder in the flesh to make your flesh look good or look right or to do something. And that's the completely wrong perspective. Get your eyes off your freaking flesh. Your freaking flesh is a dirty, rotten scoundrel and is going to remain that way. That's why your flesh does not inherit the things of the kingdom of God. That's why in baptism, like what happened with Abby, we're buried with him in the light, and we're planted in the likeness of his death, that we may be raised, right, by the power of God and translated into the body of Jesus Christ. It says over, and I think it's Philippians, it talks about how translated out of this present darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. It speaks of it. And that is speaking of water baptism. And the inner man that it's talking about there is our soul and our spirit. It's not talking about our flesh. And so what happens is we try after the flesh to do all of these things, and we fail. And we cannot do it because we seek amiss in a manner that's going to bring glory to us rather than glory to God. I remember years ago talking with Brother Ricky. And he was talking to Brother Ricky. Every once in a while had a few issues with his dad. And for folks who didn't know, just a few issues he kind of has had with his dad. And one of the issues is his dad's just a sinner, man. I mean, and pretty willing to show it. I mean, it's right out there. He doesn't try and hide it at all, does he? And that has always been enough. That was always. I won't say it continues to be. In the past, that was always an offense to Rick. Because people would come up and see Rick, and he was this, before he got fat and obese and everything, there was this nice, good-looking young guy, who had money, he was a good salesman, he had all these things, Rick was like that. Then he'd introduce him to his dad, and he'd be like, oh my God, they're going to hate me! My dad's got a pot belly. He smokes like a chimney. He's just continuously doing these things. They're all going to be offended and run away. They're going to think, that's your dad. And Rick was like, please let me hide from that some way. And I used to say, Rick, don't you get it? That's exactly why he is who he is. That's exactly why he is who he is and why God chose him. Because it manifests the grace of God. We are saved by grace. Period. There's not a one of us who could ever be saved any other way. We are all purely saved by the unadulterated grace of God. Every single individual who's ever walked this earth, except for one by the name of Jesus Christ, has been unworthy. Everybody's unworthy. You are entirely, not just a little bit, mind you, not just a little bit. You are entirely rank, despicable, ungodliness personified, unworthy in the nth degree. Think Adolf Hitler was a saint compared to you. All right? The only thing he did is he wasn't afraid to act out all of his stupidity, and he had the power to manifest it. If you did, and you operate in your flesh, oh my God. Karen, can you imagine if Charlie got to do everything he wanted to do? I would see Karen flee. Karen would find the energy to run from Springfield all the way to Northfield in utter terror at the horror that is Charles Hocker. All right, the same is true of each of us. The same is true of each of us. All right, years ago, I mean, I was a radical guy, and I was all these different things. I was going to save the world. I was going to do all this stuff. The fact of the matter is, there were people by the name of Joseph Stalin who felt that way. There were people by the name of Pol Pot who felt that way. There were people by the name of all sorts. And you know what? People who didn't agree with them, you know what happened to them? They died or got thrown into camps and stuff like that because, of course, they were, you know, they were the, what's that? They were the heretics, as Carrie said, or they were like blots in their perfect, you know, they're flies in the ointment, whatever you want to use as your analogy. And that's just what happens. That's how we are. God, by contrast, gives us a free will, and he gives us an unbelievable amount of time and patience to come through and finally get it. I have met the enemy, and it is me. But praise God for Jesus, who set me free from that guy. So, now let's turn to Romans 12, because I'm figuring by this time you found it in your scripture. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the, what's the next word? Mercies. By the mercies of God. Okay, why does he have to start with, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies? Because we've just established that every single one of us is in need of as much mercy as Adolf Hitler was in need of. Not because we all did the same things, but because we're no different from him. That is who we are by nature. Right? And you just got to stop and give up the notion of trying to ever make that old man something other than he is. He is who he is. And the beauty of it is the grace of God when you walk in it by faith. And that is faith in the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. The sufficiency of God's mercy when he died for all the world. All the sins of all the world of every individual who's ever walked. That includes yours and mine, mind you. Every bit of it. And when you can believe that, then you're no longer a prisoner to it. You are no longer a prisoner to that old man. Right? I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I had talked with my children about this. We talked about this, right, children? Living sacrifice. Abby, you know, we baptized her. She's 5 years old. We baptized her on Friday. Took her down under. Not for too long. She was like, ah! Kind of struggled a little bit. Came back up. She was all right. She was afraid she was going to get water up her nose. She let go of pinching her nose off. She came up all right, though. Praise God. But that those bodies that are a living sacrifice, I still see Abby in the 5-year-old body over there. Do you guys see her? She looks the same as she did on the last time you guys saw her, because I may be wearing something different.
She told me she's a little bit bigger today.
Oh, she said she's a little bigger. She's of that age where she gets bigger. So I get fatter. But the... I'm at that age where you get fatter, yes. So the point is I still see that body. You still see my body. We still see one another's bodies. The living sacrifice is this thing still alive walking around. Sacrifice means you deny it. You deny it. Who gives a flip what people think of my body? Who gives a flip what my body desires to do? What difference does any of that make? If I want to be a Christian, when you became a Christian, wasn't it because you wanted to walk in the kingdom of God? If you want to walk in the kingdom of God, then present your body a living sacrifice. Sure, it's still going to have all the same stupidity it ever had before. It's still going to yell at you. In fact, it's going to yell at you a lot louder than it used to yell at you. You know why? Because now instead of following it, you're denying it. So now it becomes more apparent than it ever was in your life before. And usually you don't like it. You start seeing these things and you're like, I don't like this. I don't like me. I don't like that. Why do I think that way? Why does this happen? Why does that? Why do I always seem to... Well, that is who you've always been. You're just now discovering yourself for the first time. That's the only difference. You are discovering the nastiness of yourself.
Oh, yes.
Whoop-dee-doo! I've seen it. Why do you think I could tell what Karen would be doing if Charlie were to really accomplish all his will? I know Karen would find somehow that a fire could be lit under her, that she'd run like a rocket ship up here in utter fear, terror. She didn't marry Charlie because he was such a heck of a nice guy and stuff like that. I would have never, she would have been this biggest stupid idiot ever on the face of the earth if that were the case. But you follow what I'm saying? I mean, we are disasters that way. We're disasters. I mean, you know, when I came to the Lord, I was reading my testimony of my conversion this morning. I found it after all these years. I'd taken it down. And we're going through old stuff, so I found it. I read it this morning. And, I mean, I remembered. I was like, I'm sure a lot of people thought when I came to the Lord, there is no freaking way that guy's ever going to make it. I mean, absolutely. You know, that guy is the most prideful, arrogant, know-it-all. I mean, they could add on to the list, and I don't want to belabor the point. But I mean, I'm sure people were thinking if they had looked at me when I walked in that door, I know when people wanted to just get rid of me, that a big part, I mean, you know, that one's too big. That one cannot be saved. He's too far gone. Lord, there is no way that guy could ever come around to humble himself and serve you. So God's a big God. Hallelujah. He is. He's a big God. So, you know. So it goes on, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now see, that's the part we don't like. That it's a living sacrifice. In other words, the thing's still there. Still wants to do its stuff. And you still have to deny it, not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and a month from now, and a year from now, and what happens is you start denying one thing, and then you find there's a whole other thing you were completely unaware of. That too? Look, you could just start and get the idea quickly, which is, all right, Lord, I accept it. I am a complete and total utter disaster. There is nothing redeemable in me. Nothing. I give it all up to you because it is all garbunchkies. Right? And then when you get revealed another thing of garbunchki, it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not, oh, not another. You see what I'm saying? You're thanking them because you're like, oh, good, praise God, get rid of that one too. Didn't even know it was there. See the change in perspective? Instead of lamenting, get past the lamentation BS, all right? The lamentation BS about you and yourself. Throw that stuff down, put it down, get rid of it. So now we're to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, I love this one, your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. You know, I'm highlighting, reasonable. Is what God asks of us too hard? What's his reasonable service that he's talking about? What did Jesus say? I mean, didn't Jesus say something? He said, all right, look, folks. All the law and the prophets is based on two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's too hard. I don't know. Did you hear me? I mean, just two things. Let's see. Let me see. If I got a to-do list today, my to-do list is two things. Love the Lord our God. Love my neighbor as myself. Okay? That's two. Gosh, can you imagine? I mean, if you were to start your day with just two items on your to-do list, would you think, wow, that day is like impossible? That's dream the impossible dream type of stuff, right? Just two things. Love. Is that not reasonable? Is there anything unreasonable about that request for a God who died for you, take away all your sins and save you, and make a way for you to spend eternity with him? That all he says is, love me and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. But my neighbor's a freaking jerk. Oh, well, wait a second. It didn't say only if he's nice to you, right? But the problem is, see, our old guy, the one who we keep lamenting over, that means this is radical to the old guy. You know why? Because the old guy is Idi Amin, wants to eat his enemies, not love them. Gain strength from them by doing so and terrorize everybody else. That's the old man. So that old guy, you think he likes this idea of those two things? No, he'll come up with 1,000 other things that he'll do instead. I'll build a bridge for the people over the river over there. Yep, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do this thing. I'll do that thing. I'll do the other thing. They'll do anything but love the Lord thy God, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do anything but those two. So it says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, this world's going to think something's wrong with you. Really, something seriously wrong with you. I mean, you're not concerned about global warming? Nope. You eat something other than organic? Yep. You're not saving for retirement? Nope. You do what your husband says? Yep. You listen to that old fart with Coke bottle glasses who smokes like a chimney? Yep. There's something seriously wrong with you. That's not what we do. I know. That's all right. I didn't say you had to do it, did I? Well, no. But you need... Well, wait a second. How come if I'm not telling you what you got to do, how come you feel like it's your duty to tell me what to do? You know why? I'm a fly in their ointment. You see, everybody else, I mean, you can believe anything. You can believe Mormonism. You can go to the Catholic Church. You can go... be a Buddhist, you can do yoga, you can do anything, and look, sure, people may go, well, I wouldn't do that, but if that works for you, that's all right. Okay, they may have that kind of an attitude. Or they think, well, that's kind of silly or stupid and stuff like that, but they're not really offended. But you just do the few things I just said, oh my God, you become offense to everybody. I mean, everybody. Absolutely everybody. And people kind of look at you and think like, there's something wrong with that person. You really going to go do that? See, that's why you cannot be conformed to this world. Was Jesus conformed to this world? Nah. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, and that comes from hearing and cleaving to the Word of God. See, you hear it, so now you know another way than the way I was doing it. Right? You know another way. You're like, oh. Huh. Now you have a choice. Do I cleave to this new way? Or do I continue the old way and justify myself and find why that just doesn't work for me? You just don't understand my situation. Right? I mean, as Lawrence, when he went back to Ghana, this was his wife's thing. That kind of Christianity may work in America, but it doesn't here in Ghana. Okay. Jeannie says, wow, shoot. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, what do people have here? I mean, just in this fellowship, leave aside going to Ghana. Say something to him about something that the Word says to do. Well, you just don't understand. My husband's a real jerk. Oh, yeah, I forgot. There's some rabbi back, 1,600 years ago wrote the amendment. And it said, if your husband's a real jerk, then you don't do this. You're justified and absolved of all responsibility for this because he's a jerk. I forgot about that. No, it doesn't say things like that. What do you think? I'm your slave? Nope, I'm his slave. I gave up my life for him. My wife, she gave up her life for me. It's a deal. See, the biggest problem women have with that, you know, really, when you really get down to the biggest problem women have with that, that whole thing of being submissive and obeying their husbands, it's because their husbands don't do the other part to God. See, husbands like the fact of having some woman who will do whatever he says. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, doesn't everybody like that? And whatever the relation is, my child does whatever I say. It's awesome. Whew. My employee does whatever I say. Awesome. Okay. Everybody likes that. The problem is people don't like doing it themselves. See, and that's why I don't really, to a certain extent, I don't really blame women for some of the different things that have happened and things like that, because really the fault lies first with the men. Men departed. Men departed from the faith. Scripture talks about how the women will be in submission to their own husbands, even as the church is under Christ. Church isn't under submission to Christ. So is it any wonder then that women aren't under submission to their own husbands? So don't get me wrong. I get it. I don't want to be too hard on women here, because the truth of the matter is most of the real fault in this nation and in the church really only deals with one thing, and it's called men. See, that presenting your body a living sacrifice, that's an act of love. And it's an act that strikes the heart at that Dracula called self. It's unselfish. See, and we by nature are freaking selfish creatures. We want what we want, and we don't care what anybody else. As long as we're getting what we want, or getting as much as we can, as much as we think we're able to, and as far as we can push the envelope to get what we want, we're fine. The only other thing is basically like, if you were to look in America today and look at relationships and everything, it basically looks like the old Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States. Everybody hates one another continuously, but they're constantly pushing and playing leverage and doing all of this different type of stuff to try and get some part of what they want, try to get their piece of the pie. And that's not the way of the Lord, folks. It's not the way of the Lord. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then the end of that is, folks, this is the beautiful part. If you can get past your own unworthiness, and you can get past and just realize, so what? I am so much more of a disaster than I ever imagined. So what? Why do you think my Savior had to die for me? When you can get past that, and not in the sense of justifying yourself, like when somebody comes up and, but you did this, that, and the other. You are right. I am a jerk. Why do you think my Savior had to die for me? When you can say that about it. So that you're not justifying yourself and pointing the finger at them instead and saying, but you did this, which is how we generally are as people, right? Because we defend ourselves and then find fault with the other. Now you can share the gospel. Well, I mean, it takes the fight right out of them. Well, but what, did I just hear you correctly? Did you say you did wrong? Yes. I apologize. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't say you did. I just said I did wrong. Now, you know what comes? Now they start to see their own wrong. And when they see their own wrong, now they can hear the gospel. And so what's it say? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when you present your body a living sacrifice, when you walk in love, which is your reasonable service, folks, what happens? Now the world can see what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They can see it. The scripture is basically a book about people who showed the world in their time what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's just people who are ordinary people just like you and me. No different. No different. Who, because they believed God and chose to love Him and to love others, God moved through them to make known unto the people of their generation what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is that man be reconciled unto God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You become a living testimony of the gospel and of the grace of God, and you walk in demonstration of that power of God that saved you in ministering unto others. Whether it be the forgiveness of their sin, whether it be a healing or a deliverance or whatever else somebody may need. Praise God. It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen.
Place where streams of grace flow.
and wide. Oh, the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. Surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Know the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you.
Thank you, those online, for joining us. May the Lord bless you as you seek Him.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.